This is the reading for June 15th. Job chapter 16. Then Job answered, I have heard many things like these. You are all painful comforters. Will your long-winded speeches never end? What makes you keep on arguing? I also could speak as you do. If you were in my place, I could make great speeches against you and shake my head at you. But instead, I would encourage you, and my words would bring you relief. Even if I speak, my pain is not less, and if I don't speak, it still does not go away. God, you have surely taken away my strength and destroyed my whole family. You have made me thin and weak, and this shows I have done wrong. God attacks me and tears me with anger. He grinds his teeth at me. My enemy stares at me with his angry eyes. People open their mouths to make fun of me and hit my cheeks to insult me. They join together against me. God has turned me over to evil people and has handed me over to the wicked. Everything was fine with me, but God broke me into pieces. He held me by the neck and crushed me. He has made me his target. His archers surround me. He stabs my kidneys without mercy. He spills my blood on the ground. Again and again, God attacks me. He runs at me like a soldier. I have sewed rough cloth over my skin to show my sadness, and have buried my face in the dust. My face is red from crying. I have dark circles around my eyes. Yet my hands have never done anything cruel, and my prayer is pure. Earth, please do not cover up my blood. Don't let my cry ever stop being heard. Even now I have one who speaks for me in heaven. The one who is on my side is high above. The one who speaks for me is my friend. My eyes pour out tears to God. He begs God on behalf of a human as a person begs for his friend. Only a few years will pass before I go on the journey of no return. 2 Kings chapter 15. Uzziah, son of Amaziah, became king of Judah during Jeroboam's 27th year as king of Israel. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he ruled 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother was named Jechaliah, and she was from Jerusalem. He did what the Lord said was right, just as his father Amaziah had done. But the places where gods were worshipped were not removed, so the people still made sacrifices and burned incense there. The Lord struck Uzziah with a skin disease, which he had until the day he died, so he had to live in a separate house. Jotham, the king's son, was in charge of the palace, and he governed the people of the land. All the other things Uzziah did are written in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. Uzziah died and was buried near his ancestors in Jerusalem, and his son Jotham became king in his place. Zechariah, son of Jeroboam, was king over Israel in Samaria. He ruled for 6 months during Uzziah's 38th year as king of Judah. Zechariah did what the Lord said was wrong, just as his ancestors had done. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led the people of Israel to sin, and Zechariah did not stop doing the same sins. Shallum, son of Jabesh, made plans against Zechariah and killed him in front of the people. Then Shallum became king in his place. The other acts of Zechariah are written in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. The Lord had told Jehu, "Your sons, down to your great-great-grandchildren, will be kings in Israel," and the Lord's word came true. Shallum, son of Jabesh, became king during Uzziah's 39th year as king of Judah. Shallum ruled for a month in Samaria. Then Menahem, son of Gadi, came up from Tirzah to Samaria and attacked Shallum, son of Jabesh, in Samaria. He killed him and became king in Shallum's place. The other acts of Shallum and his secret plans are written in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Menahem started out from Tirzah and attacked Tifsah, destroying the city and the area nearby. This was because the people had refused to open the city gate for him. He defeated them and ripped open all their pregnant women. Menahem, son of Gadi, became king over Israel during Uzziah's 39th year as king of Judah. Menahem ruled 10 years in Samaria, and he did what the Lord said was wrong. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to sin, and all the time Menahem was king, he did not stop doing the same sins. Paul, king of Assyria, came to attack the land. Menahem gave him about 74,000 pounds of silver to pull, would support him and make his hold on the kingdom stronger. Menahem taxed Israel to pay about 1 1/4 pounds of silver to each soldier of the king of Assyria. So the king left and did not stay in the land. Everything else Menahem did is written in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Then Menahem died, and his son Pekahiah became king in his place. Pekahiah, son of Menahem, became king over Israel in Samaria during Uzziah's 50th year as king of Judah. Pekahiah ruled 2 years, and he did what the Lord said was wrong. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to sin, and Pekahiah did not stop doing the same sins. Pekah, son of Remaliah, was one of Pekahiah's captains, and he made plans against Pekahiah. He took 50 men of Gilead with him and killed Pekahiah, as well as Argob and Ariah and the palace at Samaria. Then Pekah became king in Pekahiah's place. Everything else Pekahiah did is written in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Pekah, son of Remaliah, became king over Israel in Samaria during Uzziah's 52nd year as king of Judah. Pekah ruled 20 years, and he did what the Lord said was wrong. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to sin, and Pekah did not stop doing the same sins. Tiglath-Pileser was king of Assyria. He attacked while Pekah was king of Israel, capturing the cities of Ijon, Abel, Beth, Maacah, Genoa, Kadesh, and Hazor. He also captured Gilead and Galilee and all the land of Naphtali and carried the people away to Assyria. Then Hoshea, son of Elah, made plans against Pekah, son of Remaliah, and attacked and killed him. Then Hoshea became king in Pekah's place during the 20th year Jotham, son of Uzziah, was king. Everything else Pekah did is written in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Jotham, son of Uzziah, became king of Judah during the 2nd year Pekah, son of Remaliah, was king of Israel. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he ruled 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. Jotham did what the Lord said was right, just as his father Uzziah had done. But the places where gods were worshipped were not removed, and the people still made sacrifices and burned incense there. Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord. The other things Jotham did while he was king are written in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. At that time, the Lord began to send Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, against Judah. Jotham died and was buried with his ancestors in Jerusalem, the city of David, his ancestor. Then Jotham's son Ahaz became king in his place. 2 Kings chapter 16. Ahaz was the son of Jotham, king of Judah. Ahaz became king of Judah in the 17th year Pekah, son of Remaliah, was king of Israel. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he ruled 16 years in Jerusalem. Unlike his ancestor David, he did not do what the Lord his God said was right. Ahaz did the same things the kings of Israel had done. He even made his son pass through fire. He did the same hateful sins as the nations had done, whom the Lord had forced out of the land ahead of the Israelites. Ahaz offered sacrifices and burned incense at the places where gods were worshipped, on the hills and under every green tree. Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to attack Jerusalem. They surrounded Ahaz but could not defeat him. At that time, Rezin, king of Aram, took back the city of Elath from Aram, and he forced out all the people of Judah. Then Edomites moved into Elath, and they still live there today. Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, "I am your servant and your friend. Come and save me from the king of Aram and the king of Israel who are attacking me." Ahaz took the silver and gold that was in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the palace, and he sent these as a gift to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria listened to Ahaz. He attacked Damascus and captured it and sent all its people away to Kir, and he killed Rezin. Then King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. Ahaz saw an altar at Damascus, and he sent plans and a pattern of this altar to Uriah the priest. So Uriah the priest built an altar just like the plans King Ahaz had sent him from Damascus. Uriah finished the altar before King Ahaz came back from Damascus. When the king arrived from Damascus, he saw the altar and went near and offered sacrifices on it. He burned his burnt offerings and grain offerings and poured out his drink offering. He also sprinkled the blood of his fellowship offerings on the altar. Ahaz moved the bronze altar that was before the Lord at the front of the temple. It was between Ahaz's altar and the temple of the Lord, but he put it on the north side of his altar. King Ahaz commanded Uriah the priest, on the large altar burn the morning burnt offering, the evening grain offering, the king's burnt offering and grain offering, and the whole burnt offering, the grain offering, and the drink offering for all the people of the land. Sprinkle on the altar all the blood of the burnt offering and of the sacrifice, but I will use the bronze altar to ask questions of God. So Uriah the priest did everything as King Ahaz commanded him. Then King Ahaz took off the side panels from the bases and removed the washing bowls from the tops of the bases. He also took the large bowl, which was called the sea, off the bronze bowls that held it up, and he put it on a stone base. Ahaz took away the platform for the royal throne, which had been built at the temple of the Lord. He also took away the outside entrance for the king. He did these things because of the king of Assyria. The other things Ahaz did as king are written in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. Ahaz died and was buried with his ancestors in Jerusalem, and Ahaz's son Hezekiah became king in his place.
Chapter 2.
When Pentecost, the 50th day after Passover, came, all the believers were together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a violently blowing wind came from the sky and filled the whole house where they were staying. Tongues that looked like fire appeared to them. The tongues arranged themselves so that one came to rest on each believer. All the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. Devout Jewish men from every nation were living in Jerusalem. They gathered when they heard the wind. Each person was startled to recognize his own dialect when the disciples spoke. Stunned and amazed, the people in the crowd said, "All of these men who are speaking are Galileans. Why do we hear them speaking in our native dialects? We're Parthians, Medes, and Elamites. We're people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the country near Cyrene in Libya. We're Jewish people, converts to Judaism, and visitors from Rome, Crete, and Arabia. We hear these men in our own languages as they tell about the miracles that God has done." All of these devout men were stunned and puzzled. They asked each other, "What can this mean?" Others said jokingly, "They're drunk on sweet wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 apostles. In a loud voice, he said to them, "Men of Judea and everyone living in Jerusalem, you must understand this, so pay attention to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Rather, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. In the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will speak what God has revealed. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour my spirit on my servants, on both men and women. They will speak what God has revealed. I will work miracles in the sky and give signs on the earth. Blood, fire, and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will become as red as blood before the terrifying day of the Lord comes. Then whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to what I say. Jesus from Nazareth was a man whom God brought to your attention. You know that through this man, God worked miracles, did amazing things, and gave signs. By using men who don't acknowledge Moses' teachings, you crucified Jesus, who was given over to death by a plan that God had determined in advance. But God raised him from death to life and destroyed the pains of death because death had no power to hold him. This is what David meant when he said about Jesus, "I always see the Lord in front of me. I cannot be moved because he is by my side. That is why my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests securely because you do not abandon my soul to the grave or allow your Holy One to decay. You make the path of life known to me. In your presence there is complete joy. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that our ancestor David died and was buried, and that his tomb is here to this day. David was a prophet and knew that God had promised with an oath that he would place one of David's descendants on his throne. David knew that the Messiah would come back to life, and he spoke about that before it ever happened. He said that the Messiah wouldn't be left in the grave and that his body wouldn't decay. God brought this man Jesus back to life. We are all witnesses to that. God used his power to give Jesus the highest position. Jesus has also received and has poured out the Holy Spirit as the Father had promised, and this is what you're seeing and hearing. David didn't go up to heaven, but he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, take my highest position of power until I put your enemies under your control. All the people of Israel should know beyond a doubt that God made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were deeply upset. They asked Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter answered them, "All of you must turn to God and change the way you think and act, and each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. This promise belongs to you and to your children and to everyone who is far away. It belongs to everyone who worships the Lord our God." Peter said much more to warn them. He urged, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted what Peter said were baptized. That day, about 3,000 people were added to the group. The disciples were devoted to the teachings of the apostles, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. A feeling of fear came over everyone as many amazing things and miraculous signs happened through the apostles. All the believers kept meeting together, and they shared everything with each other. From time to time, they sold their property and other possessions and distributed the money to anyone who needed it. The believers had a single purpose and went to the temple every day. They were joyful and humble as they ate at each other's homes and shared their food. At the same time, they praised God and had the goodwill of all the people. Every day, the Lord saved people, and they were added to the group.